One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When your team's curious and ready to grow, they do their best work, and that changes everything. At CBT Nuggets, we've spent over 25 years making IT training engaging, hands-on, and fun. Expert-led courses, virtual labs, real-world skills your team can use right now. From networking to cloud to cybersecurity, we build skills and confidence that drive results. Believe in your team. Give them the tools to thrive at cbtnuggets.com/solutions.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Hello friends. I'm glad that you've stopped by here this evening, because I have one hell of an episode prepared for you. And tonight I have all kinds of weirdness to share with you as well. So Papa Squat, as one of my old football coaches used to say, and get yourselves comfortable, because we're getting right into it. Beginning with Alan, out of Parts Unknown.
Hello, I'd like to remain anonymous. I'll just go by the name of Alan. This event happened in 1979. I was 6 years old in that year. This event that I'm talking about took place in a small town just north of Green Bay, Wisconsin, you know, about 10, 12 minutes north of Green Bay. And it was early summer. I had gone to bed. At the time, I shared a room with my younger sister, as many kids did. And I had a dream. And this dream was very strange, very odd. I'd burned a 4K image within my mind that I still think about today, and it was reoccurring for 3 nights in a row. And the dream every night was the same, and it was this very ethereal world that was standing on what felt like stone or metal, and it was warm. And this whole entire area or world or whatever I was in was built of these huge, huge monolith-type objects, like gigantic dominoes standing. You could not see the top of them, and the darkness itself wasn't even an absence of light. It was almost as if it had a material to it, and all of a sudden these objects would fall and I would get crushed. Everything would go black, beyond black. I almost felt as though I was at a molecular level at all places at once, and I would wake up. This happened 3 times. On the third night when I woke up, I got out of bed, I don't know why, and I went to a small window that overlooked our backyard. We lived in a heavily forested area, with huge white pines, Norway pines that were quite tall. We had a ranch home, so I was essentially looking in the canopy. And out of the bedroom window, I could see this glowing orange, very earth-toned orb, probably the size of what would be a exercise ball. And this thing would move, and it darted around through these trees. And as I was watching this, I had stepped on some toys or some record player I had had on the floor. whatever it was, and it made a ruckus. And my mother had come into the room and wanted to know what was going on. I didn't even know what to say to her, but she brought me out in the living room, and her and my father had been watching Saturday Night Live. This was a Saturday night. You know, I'd had some water and, you know, talked to my mom and dad for a minute, and I had gone back to bed. And I still, to this day, I don't know how to wrap my head around this. And it happened for real. My mother has a recollection of that evening, because I was talking to her about a light in the backyard and all these types of things. And of course it was dismissed, as most things are dismissed. Now, I don't know if this was a night terror or if this was a waking dream, but I do know it was real to me. Just a strange occurrence, something I've never forgot. You know, I'm in my 50s now, and I still think of this often. Anyways, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Now, I'm not sure what to make of this one, to be honest. Are the dreams and the light somehow connected? If not, one could argue that it was simply a few bad dreams, and then a once-in-a-lifetime experience with ball lightning. But I have a hunch that it's just not that simple. But beyond that, I haven't a clue what was behind these experiences. But I do know that they made for a great story. And we thank you again, Alan, for kicking things off here tonight. Now, folks, we have some bills to pay, so I'm going to duck out of here for a quick ad break, but I'll be right back with more macabre right after this.
Because they're expected to be a winning team. Bottom of it.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. These days, it feels like there's advice for everything. Cold plunges, gratitude journals, screen detoxes. But how do you know what actually works for you? It can be overwhelming trying to do it all. But in my experience, using trusted resources and talking to an experienced therapist can help you break through the noise. Therapy has given me the tools I need to manage stress, cope with grief, and set boundaries. It's helped me continue to be a better version of myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. You can join a session with a therapist in just a couple of clicks. The convenience of it really helps fit therapy into your busy life. And if you're not vibing with your therapist, you can easily switch therapists at any time. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/MAU. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MAU.
The broad range of quality products and next-day delivery.
Now coming to us from the state of Oregon, please welcome Dave to tonight's program.
Hi, this is Dave from Oregon. I'm calling in this time because it's just continuous things that happen. I was talking to my mom this morning, and she was giving me some of her experiences, and it's funny how sometimes things seem to happen at different intervals through your life. About 3 months ago, my wife and I were sleeping, and it was the middle of the night. I think that was 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we both were woke up by a loud slam sound that we both sat up in bed. So was I turned the light on, and a book that I had on my nightstand right next to me was laying about 6 feet off of the edge of my bed on the floor that had just been thrown off of the nightstand during the middle of the night while we were asleep. I don't know. We both talked about this stuff. It's something that's happened so many times and so many things. It's something that we get used to and we go back to sleep. And the part that makes it funny is I wonder if they listen at times, because last night my wife and I were talking and we were watching TV. We're just getting ready to go to bed. And I'd made the comment where I was talking about, remember that time when the book came off of the nightstand? And I said, you know, knock on wood. And I reached over and I knocked on the headboard and I says, I don't really want that. But remember when that happened, we sat and talked about it for a few minutes, and we both went to sleep. And at 1:15, that's when I woke up, I heard the sound of my glasses falling from the nightstand to the ground. And my wife and I both woke up. It always seems to be loud enough to make sure and wake me up and let me know that it's there. I'm not sure what the purpose is. It's just letting me know that I'm here. And when I talked about it, it sure does seem a high coincidence that it just happened to let me know that night that it was there again. My daughter-in-law, my wife, my son, my daughter, they've all had their experiences in this house. And we've lived here for pushing 30 years now. And this seems like it's not stopping. It keeps on going on. Thank you. Love your podcast. Have a good day.
Thank you, Dave. Someone or something seems to be trying to get your attention. Maybe try talking to it. Come up with a way for it to communicate with you. But no matter what you do, be careful. And be sure to let us know if you do make any sort of progress. And until then, thank you again, Dave, for sharing your entry. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to share here on the program, give my hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or record a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about the rules. Call from a quiet place. One story per call. Only call a story in once. Call back if you get disconnected or run out of time. And of course, true stories only. And make sure that you keep them spooky. And speaking of spooky, it's time for our next installment. Please welcome Anonymous out of Utah.
This story happened in 2014 when I was in high school. I believe the month was September, October-ish. I'm in Provo, Utah, and me, my father, and a friend were driving northbound on a road called Geneva. And heading northbound, we looked westward across Utah Lake. So it's on the other side of the mountain, but if you were to pull up a map and you were to look at Provo, Orem, you'd see Vineyard, and then like that road that kind of leads from the lake to Vineyard that isn't I-15 is Geneva. So we were driving north along Geneva, and we looked westward towards the town of Eagle Mountain, but there's a giant mountain in between us seeing the town. I want to say it's called West Mountain. And we were looking across the lake, and around the point of West Mountain, where you would kind of go towards, again, if you're looking on the maps, if you're looking at like Saratoga Springs, Lehigh, it's just south of that, where it's kind of in like this, I wouldn't call it a bay area, but just kind of the corner of Utah Lake. That's where we saw what I'm about to tell you. Just so you can have the location, kind of look where I was seeing. Because what I'm about to describe sound a lot like light lanterns, but when you're talking that distance, you wouldn't be able to see them. So my friends, my father, and I were traveling northbound, looking across the lake, and at the corner of Utah Lake by West Mountain and by the point of West Mountain, we saw 5 to 7 red-white triangles. That's how I would describe them. They were triangles. We couldn't see any metal frame. We couldn't see anything like that. It was just a light shaped like a triangle. And it was a really dim red light. And again, like I've lit the Chinese lanterns before and have them float up. And they did look just like that. It was that kind of dim red light, whereas almost by candle, but at that distance, it'd be almost impossible without some kind of viewing device, you know? And yeah, we were heading northbound and we crossed a couple trees and we lost sight of them. And yeah, we viewed them for about a minute, minute 30. We tried to find them again and they were just gone. it was really weird. And the trees could have only lasted like maybe 5 seconds. So one, two, three, four, five, gone. And no trace of the light. It was a really weird thing. And I don't know how to describe it. It looks like something that would be recognizable and familiar, but there's just something about how the triangles were acting and just kind of staying there and then just gone that it just kind of boggles the mind. Thanks again for all you do, Derek. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you, caller. You know, given the behavior, duration, and color of the lights, I can't help but wonder if they weren't some sort of flares. Perhaps dropped from a plane, a helicopter, a drone, or simply shot into the air from the ground. And perhaps the distance was great enough that our caller wasn't able to hear or see the source of the flares. But over the night sky, they stood out like a sore thumb. But what if the mystery object that's being reported isn't that normal, familiar, reddish-orange glow of firelight? Here with a brief but mighty example of just such an encounter is Gavin, out of the state up north.
Hey, this is Gavin calling from Michigan, specifically the Harbor Springs, Petoskey area. And just a couple weeks ago, I saw something really odd outside the highway where I live. Basically, to sum it all up, there was this aqua triangle that was flashing every 5 seconds, and then it would disappear. And it split off into five more triangles, then they'd all come back together. And then it flashed red. It lasted for like 2 minutes. And then a minute later, it shot off to the north and it disappeared. I haven't seen anything weird like this before. Thank you. And bye.
Thank you, Gavin. That one certainly didn't sound like flares to me. Now, according to the National UFO Reporting Center, triangular-shaped craft are the third most popular shape reported, preceded by circles and then lights. So it shouldn't be that difficult for us to find a similar experience. Right? Well, it wasn't easy, but we did find something that sounds eerily similar to what Gavin reported. The following is sighting number 127657. Courtesy of the National UFO Reporting Center. And believe it or not, it too took place near Harbor Springs, Michigan. A group of changing color lights making random movements in the same general area of the northwestern sky, grouped multicolored lights, kind of in the shape of a Hershey kiss, zipping in random directions in the northwestern sky. It doesn't seem to be going in any set direction. Very rapid movement. Now that sighting took place in September of 2016, at least 8 solid years before Gavin's sighting. Which could suggest that whatever this activity is, it is still ongoing. Now take from all this what you will, but I have a story coming up that also takes place in that area that just might change the way you think about these UFOs. But first, another quick break.
Think about all the things, Jerry.
Plenty of time down the road to talk about it. Now,
have you ever stopped to wonder just how close you've come to danger without even realizing it? Every single day, we encounter countless people on the street, in the grocery store, at the gym, never truly knowing who they are or what they're capable of. But what if one of those seemingly ordinary people was hiding a dark secret? What if they had done something unthinkable and were planning to? The Minds of Madness is a weekly true crime podcast that dives deep into the criminal psyche, covering the most shocking and disturbing cases you've ever heard from all over the world. We're talking about ordinary people who do the most unthinkable things, like a feral Goldilocks-style intruder who left a disgusting calling card before embarking on a reign of terror that led a nationwide manhunt. or a seductive ex who used voodoo and manipulation to get whatever she wanted. The Minds of Madness examines the psychology of the perpetrators, trying to understand what makes them tick while interviewing experts in forensic psychology and criminology, as well as survivors who fought for justice. So what are you waiting for? The Minds of Madness is available wherever you get your podcast, or visit mindsofmadnesspodcast.com for more information. I also put a link in tonight's show notes.
Or likes to have, you know, a boogeyman in the name.
I mean, his...
Now, folks, I'm going to get to that wild UFO story that I just promised here in a few minutes. But first, an unsettling entry from Joe in Parts Unknown.
Hi, you can just call me Joe. The story I'm about to tell takes place in a little town in Vermont called Bethel. Where I lived was on the outskirts of Bethel, Vermont. The story takes place around 2005. I was fairly young. I lived in an old house that was originally built in the 1800s. It was called the Allen Farm originally, and it became a house that my grandparents rented when I was a young child. I moved in with them when I was young, and before then I had never experienced ghosts, but after what I have to tell you tonight, I definitely am a believer now. There was a night that I had some family over. They were visiting, and I was in my room. I went to bed. It was a normal night. I woke up at some point in the night to find this little girl standing over the head of my bed. And as I looked at her, she turned to me, and she had these beautiful blue eyes, this big white smile. I would have to say she looked pretty young, maybe 3 to 5 years old. And she just stood there and smiled at me. And there was like this glow, this heavenly glow. Well, I got scared, so I hid under my covers. And I eventually drifted back to sleep. I didn't think too much of it until many years later. I was walking our landlord's dog back to his house, and he had lived just up the street in a similar older style house. So I got there, I knocked on his door, told him, "Hey, Mr. Kellogg, just returning bear." He ran over there again. He said, "All right, great. Do you want to come on in for a little bit?" So I decided to come on in. At this time, I was about 16, 17 years old. It was many years later. And I'm sitting there, and we're talking, and he gets up to go to the kitchen, and I follow him. We're in his kitchen, and I'm looking over at his old family photos as we're talking, mainly looking at the antique design of a lot of his furniture. He was an older guy, 70s maybe. And we're talking, and I see this picture of these two little girls, and I ask him about it. I'm like, "Hey, Mr. Kellogg, who are these two little girls?" He's like, "Oh, those were my daughters." I said, "Oh, were?" He's like, "Well, one of them's alive. She's in her 40s now, 50s. But the other one passed away years ago, actually just right outside your house when she was chasing a ball that went into the road and a car had hit her, killed her on impact." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." And I looked closer at the photo, and it was the little girl I had seen years prior that night in my room. Now, going into a little bit more further detail, that was the only time I saw her. But I heard her many times. I'd be playing outside by myself or somewhere in the house alone. I'd hear a little girl laugh, giggle, even call my name. Except the only people living there at these times were me and my grandmother.
Thank you, Joe. That's about as classic as you can get in regards to ghost stories. A witness stumbling upon a photo of the ghost they'd seen prior, only to learn of said ghost's connection to the house or the land or a neighbor, some personal connection. If only I had a nickel for every time I've heard that. But these stories get shared around a lot for a reason. Because they're effective. They're effectively creepy. Now, of course, I'm not saying that Joe's tale is a fabrication. Just saying that his story has a lot of similarities to other classic versions of this ghost story. I, for one, hope that it is true. Every word of it. And thank you again, Joe, for sharing the tale here with us. Now, folks, I'd mentioned it on Tuesday, but I'll mention it here again. The shop is back open, and it features a brand new design. Our latest Halloween design by the extremely talented Sam Heimer. Now, Sam is one of our favorite spooky artists. He really is the place to go for Halloween art. So you must go check out his website at samheimer.com. H-E-I-M-E-R. And his Instagram is at sam_heimer. H-E-I-M-E-R. Both are linked in tonight's show notes. And to pick up one of these amazing t-shirts for yourself, or to grab a plethora of other MAU-themed items, visit our shop at monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking the shop tab. And I do have one more quick announcement in regards to this. As of today, we are announcing our annual hoodie pre-sale that will run until August 22nd. So we've decided to include that design, plus a couple of older ones. Now it looks like these hoodies are going to ship mid-September, so don't delay. Visit the website at monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the shop tab to check out styles and to place your pre-order now. Again, through August 22nd. Now I've teased this long enough, so it's time for the call that's had me and the team talking all week long. Please welcome Ruby, out of the Lone Star State of Texas.
Hi, it's Ruby calling from San Antonio. I was an intelligence officer for the United States Air Force in 1954. I was working in the Combat Ops Center, and I was stationed at Eastern Air Defense Force Headquarters in New York. My job was to receive calls of anything that was of an intelligence nature, and I got quite a few UFO calls. Some of them I thought were credible and some I didn't, but my instructions were not to talk about them, to immediately call the Pentagon and relay the call to them. One night we had a sighting from a radar site in Maine, and they reported seeing a UFO. And about 2 minutes later, it was over New Hampshire. A minute after that, it was picked up in New York, and it went on across the country. It went from Maine to Chicago in 13 minutes. And it hovered over Chicago for several minutes before it just zoomed off into the atmosphere. I called it in to the Pentagon, but I never saw anything about it in the newspaper. One night, I got a call from one of our bases in Michigan saying they had encountered a UFO. They scrambled two F-86s to intercept the UFO, and the pilot said they got very close to it. They could see the windows around the edge of it. It was really a little scary for him. He was very shaken because his partner that was a little bit ahead of him just was vaporized, completely vaporized, just disappeared. So he turned and ran back to the base as fast as he could go. So I had this report. I was to call it directly to the Pentagon, which I did. The next day, I picked up the newspaper, and it said an F-86 crashed into Lake Michigan, and they were unable to recover it. No mention of the UFO. The government has known that we have UFOs for years. They know they're from outer space, but they don't want to admit it. But it's true. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruby, for the phone call. Now let me just start by saying, if what Ruby is telling us is true, we're literally hearing about history from someone that lived it. Because researchers refer to this event as the Kinross UFO incident, on account of the now-defunct Kinross Air Force Base, up there in the UP of Michigan. The incident is now famous as being one of only a handful of air tragedies involving a UFO. Now here's how the story is widely known today, courtesy of Dark Docs over on YouTube.
In 1953, an unidentified and suspicious return appeared on U.S. military radar near Sioux Locks on the border of the U.S. and Canada between Lake Huron and Lake Superior. Whatever it was speeding across the sky at 500 miles per hour, and the Air Force scrambled an F-89C Scorpion interceptor to investigate. As it met the unidentified object on the radar screen, the American plane vanished. No trace of the Scorpion or its two pilots would ever be found.
And you know, these aren't just rumors. These very same claims are present in government-issued reports on the subject of UFOs. This is how the incident was described in the UFO Evidence Report, published by NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, all the way back in 1964. On the night of November 23, 1953, an unidentified flying object was detected over Lake Superior by Air Defense Command radar. An F-89C all-weather interceptor was scrambled from Kinross Air Force Base near the Sioux Locks in northern Michigan. Guided by radar, the jet sped northwest across the lake on an intercept course. On the radar screen, ground controllers saw the F-89 close in on the UFO blip, and then the two blips merged and faded from the screen. From all appearances, the aircraft and the UFO had collided. No trace of the jet has ever been found. Now, there are only a few discrepancies that I could find between these published reports and the claims that Ruby made. The first being that the craft was traveling somewhere around 500 miles an hour, as we heard in the video clip. Which is fast, yes, but not nearly as fast as what Ruby described. To get from Maine to northern Illinois in 13 minutes, you'd have to be traveling at over 4,100 miles an hour. A far cry from 500. And the other inconsistency here also deals with numbers. The dates in which the two events took place. Because Ruby mentioned that she was an intelligence officer in 1954, but the Kinross UFO incident famously took place in late November of 53. A difference of at least a couple of months. But listen, none of that is enough to persuade me that Ruby doesn't have inside knowledge on this famous event. After all, 1953 was a long time ago, and dates are hard to remember. So maybe she simply misspoke. So in short, I guess what you can say is that I believe her. And I'm also starting to believe that most of what we know about the events of that night have been fabricated by one or more three-letter agencies. So perhaps they were able to carefully disguise how fast this object was actually traveling. And perhaps 4,100 miles an hour is a little closer to the truth. Either way, a big thank you to you, Ruby, for sharing this story with us. It's probably our oldest first-hand account to date. And as a history lover, I really appreciate that. Thank you again, Ruby, for calling in. Now, this next story is also wild, but for an entirely different reason. Please welcome Christy from Virginia to the platform.
Hi, Derek. This is Christy from Virginia. This actually happened a few years ago in the Valley of the Black Mountains in Georgia. at the time, my fiance and I decided to go on a hike, and it was about 7 o'clock. We decided that we were going to go back through some of these old roads that they weren't really roads. They were just kind of dirt things that cars drove down. We took all of our gear with us. It was often that we would go camping in the Black Mountains, so we had all the camping gear and stuff just in case we had to stay out there. And we're walking down this one old miner's road. Suddenly, I heard a branch break right next to us, and there was just woods as far as the eye could see beside us. I grabbed, his name was Bobby, I grabbed Bobby's hand real tight, and he looked at me and he said, "Don't worry about it. It's okay. Let's just keep walking." So we kept walking up the hill, and all of a sudden we heard this very heavy right next to us. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he squeezed my hand tighter. He said, "Let's just walk a little bit faster." So we start walking a little bit faster, and the sun has completely disappeared. You can see a little bit of the moonlight, but not much. The trees mainly are blocking it. They don't have street lights on most of these streets up there. Hence, they're not really streets. They're just, like I said, where the cars kind of go up and down. And there was a house probably about 10 miles south of us, and then another house somewhere around 5 miles north of us. So, like I said, this is a very rural area. We keep walking, and we walk for, close to an hour, and we kept hearing that high hissing sound to the left of us. I kept looking at Bobby, and I kept thinking, something is there. And he said, no, don't worry about it. Let's just walk a little bit faster. We'll be okay. And I kept thinking, I'm sorry, but that hissing sound is getting louder. He's like, no, if we stop, we're going to be dead. Let's keep walking. And I thought, oh, that's a nice thought. So we kept walking, and we kept walking. And the sky is getting denser because the woods are now completely surrounding us. All we have is a few of the stars in the sky, and that's really all we have. But we keep following along the path, and we keep going up. And he's like, you know what, let's start singing. So we start singing some old country songs, and he grabs a stick off the ground and some other stuff, and he starts rustling through the leaves. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to make noise. Okay. And so he starts making some noise, and I have a whistle in the back of my bag, in my camping bag, and it's supposed to be a 911 whistle, but we're far enough up that if we blow it, not many people are really going to hear it unless they live near us. I start blowing it so that we're making noise. It's a very loud, high-pitched call. I tell Bobby, I said, you know, maybe we should turn around and go home because this is getting really creepy. This noise is, like, not stopping. It's still hissing right next to us. And very heavy, intense breathing. Strange hissing sound. Suddenly it stops and everything gets quiet. And I looked at Bobby and he looks at me and he goes, don't move. And I thought, why? He goes, there's a cow next to us and we have to be super quiet. Otherwise he's going to step on us if we walk too much louder. And he starts to run. And I looked at him and I said, I don't think cows hiss. And he said, this cow does. He's been following us for quite a while. And I said, I don't think cows don't do that. He said, just get real quiet. So we got really quiet. And whatever this thing was, it starts getting closer to us. And I looked at Bobby and I said, I don't care what you just said. I'm going to run. So I started running. And you could hear whatever it was in the woods stomping on the thing and running after us. It was the freakiest thing. Bobby started running after me, and he kept telling me to slow down, and this cow is coming faster. And I said, Bobby, there's no such thing as a freaking cow in the Black Mountains. This is something other than a cow. I don't know what it is, but we've got to get away from it. This path is getting a little bit wider. There's a first car that we see actually pass by, and as the car is coming, the noise behind me slows down, and I stopped, and I turned. And this thing, his head is bigger than my head, much bigger than my head. He's on all fours and a huge, huge head. As you can see, two yellow glaring eyes in the car light. The eyes were set on each side of its head.
And I turned and I looked at Bobby and I said, that is not a cow. That is not a cow. Cows do not have a head like that. That is not a cow. That is a very large cat or something, but it's not a cow. And he said, well, we'll be okay now that the cars come. So we start our walk back up the hill and we're walking. And all of a sudden I hear the hissing sound again and I looked at him and he looked at me. And at that time we didn't really believe in God and we were like, I don't know who it is up there, but oh my gosh, please don't let this thing eat us. And we're still walking and it's dark and it's dense. There's not really any street lights. There's no starlights. We don't see the moon. It's just a dark area. And I start blowing my whistle and I blow it as hard as I can, as loud as I can. Suddenly a truck comes from the opposite direction and it goes towards us. So we have to jump over to the other side of the road. When we did that, this thing turned around and ran. And the tail is a huge black tail, a couple inches wide. It is huge. This thing is a massive black panther. We don't realize that it's a black panther until we get back home several hours later. Someone called us up and asked us if we were okay because there were signs being reported by the sheriff's office of a black panther in the woods that they couldn't catch and it was eating everybody's livestock. Oh my gosh, that thing was stalking us for I don't know how long. We were its next prey. It was the freakiest thing I had ever experienced in my life. That's my story. Have a great night.
Thanks, Christy, for calling in. Now, just so you know, cows are responsible for an average of 22 deaths a year in the United States. So even if it was just a cow, that's still something you might want to be concerned about. But it sounds like whatever this thing was, it wasn't no cow. Nah, it sounded much more dangerous than that. And it's yet another possible attack from a mystery creature that was seemingly thwarted by an oncoming truck. I'll tell you truck drivers seem to have impeccable timing. I will tell you that. Now as for the creature that you witnessed, Christy, from the sounds of things, it could have been yet another alien big cat. But based on the description, I wouldn't rule something like Dogman out completely, either. But whatever it was, we thank you again, Christy, for your thrilling contribution to tonight's program.
That will free you up to effectually deal with the city.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Something hugely valuable. Equity.
Name a fact on this show.
Now I have a couple of ghostly calls to round this evening out. And we're going to begin with Brittany's entry out of the volunteer state of Tennessee.
Hey, my name is Brittany. At the moment, I am in my early 30s, but during this experience, I was around 2004. I was about 14 years old, and my grandfather, it's my mom's dad, he was very misogynistic. He really didn't like women, especially women that spoke their mind, and therefore he did not like my mother. So they had their turmoil, and that kind of spilled over onto her kids. He really didn't want to have much to do with us, especially me. growing up a chubby kid, and I took a lot of verbal abuse from him. He was just a mean old bastard. And so when he died, when I was 14, I wasn't that upset about it. So just to kind of backtrack, my grandmother, the year before I was about 13, she got in a car accident, and she could no longer live on her own. So my grandfather and her, they moved into a room of a nursing home. Well, my grandfather, he ended up passing away. He just had diabetes and didn't take care of himself. Anyway, at that time, I can't even remember how long afterwards, you know, they were still alive when we moved into their house to take care of, you know, the estate. My mother took over everything, and we moved into their house. And they come from the time where husbands and wives had separate bedrooms. So it being just a little two-bedroom house, I took my grandfather's room, and my parents took my grandmother's. And we renovated, definitely made it my own. And after we renovated everything, I started getting visitations from my grandfather. And he haunted me for about 5 years. And I feel like the reason he, you know, kind of stuck around me was because, you know, just kind of maybe he felt bad in the afterlife, or maybe he realized how I felt about him. I just didn't like him. But there would be many times I'd be going to bed, and at the time, I would roll over on my side and go to bed, and I would feel air on my ear. It's like somebody was within an inch away from my head, blowing in my ear. And my grandfather, he'd always chewed tobacco, and he always kept this nasty cup in his car, and wherever he went, he had his cup of tobacco to spit out. And I knew it was him because I could smell the tobacco. So for every night, for 2 years of me living in his house, he would come and visit me, and he would blow in my ear. And then it's like he would blow, and then, you know, just to have the scent out. And not only that, but between sightings of him throughout the house, I would see him at the corner of my eye. And there was a rocking chair in the living room. And the way it was kind of had its back towards the kitchen. The kitchen was behind the living room. If he was facing the living room, he'd be facing the TV, and he would just sit there and rock in his rocking chair. And that was his place. And I remember specifically one night, I had insomnia when I was a teenager, and it was about 3, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, and I got up to get something to drink, and I go in the kitchen, and the kitchen light is on, and from there I hear this squeaking of the recliner. It's just like, and I could see him. I could see the top of his head. He was bald, you know, when he passed away. I could see his head. I could see his glasses. And it just got to the point where I was seeing him every single night. And it used to scare me. It scared me shitless. I couldn't sleep. And I actually think that's why I developed insomnia, because I just couldn't sleep. I would sit in the dark, just afraid that he would show himself over my bed or something like that. Thankfully, that never happened, but I don't know which is worse, seeing something or smelling and knowing something's there and not seeing it. But it got to the point where I was getting angry because I was tired of it. I was tired of just being harassed. You know, he harassed me in life, you know, trying to make me feel bad about myself for whatever reason. And he's just an angry man then, and I feel like in the afterlife, he was trying to make up for that or say his sorry for how he treated me. But, you know, I wouldn't say this is like the most terrifying experience I've ever had, but it's definitely the longest experience I've ever had. We lived in that house for about 2 or 3 years, and then afterwards, I never felt him again. I would always feel him. I knew it was him. There's no doubt in my mind it was anyone else. But Yeah, so that is how my grandfather haunted me for a few years while I was a teenager. Have a good day.
Thank you, Brittany, for calling in. Now, this call is a stark reminder, at least to me, that just because someone experiences a ghost of a loved one or a relative, doesn't mean that that's automatically a positive experience. I think we all have people in our lives we don't want to run into, dead or alive. So I think we can all put ourselves in your shoes, Brittany. But all that said, it does sort of sound like he was trying to make amends in some way, for whatever that's worth. So thank you again, Brittany, for taking the time to share your story. The ghost of Grandpa. Amazing stuff. And folks, that takes us to tonight's final story. Another ghost story. Another familiar spirit. Please welcome Charlene, all the way from Vermont.
Hi, Derek. This is Charlene from Vermont. My story happened in Florida in the early 2000s. Me and my ex-husband lived down there for a few years, and we used to buy storage units and sell at a tag sale. We had a friend that lived in the next town over, and he had property on the main road. So in the front yard, we used to set up, and between the front yard and the house with the backyard was a huge Quonset hut, which is just a metal building. It's like a half O. And it was huge. It blocked the front yard from the backyard. So we used to set up in the front. And that day, his name was Danny, and he came out and he decided to sit with us, which he never did. He was a really good guy. Southern guy, ZZ Top beard, you know, the whole thing. Biker kind of guy. Well, anyway, he came out and sat with us, and he had a ZZ Top beard, and he had it all tied up. So, like, he had, like, four hair ties in it, and it went all the way down. He also had a red shirt on with some kind of saying, I don't remember what it was, and jeans. And he sat with us all afternoon till we were ready to leave. So he went out back, went through the Quonset hut to cut through, and then go into his house, and we were packing up. A little while later, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes, he came back out. And he came over to us, and I was packing. I turned around and saw him. It looked like he had taken a shower. He was all cleaned up, beard all nice and fluffy, and he had a nice button-down blue shirt, jeans, all clean, you know, and was talking to my ex. He says, hey, do you think I can get a ride to the parts store? Because he was fixing a car for his son out back. And my ex said, sure, yeah, we can do that. Just let us finish, and we'll come back and get you. So in the meantime, there was a mother and daughter that came and stopped and wanted to look at the stuff. So a little girl walked up to my ex and Danny, and she looked at Danny, and I guess she wanted to pay for something. He says, oh, no, you got to pay that ugly guy over there, because that's how Danny was. And so everything was fine. We did our thing. We finished, and it took us maybe, I don't know, 15 more minutes to pack it all up. We drove around the back, so he had to go out and then around, and he had like a horseshoe driveway. So we pulled in and went in the house to look for him. And I'm calling him. I don't see him. He's not around. I come back out, and I says to my ex, I says, well, he must have got a ride or something. I can't find him. I don't know where he is. So in the meantime, I got back in the car, and we started to pull out. If you looked at the house and then over to the side, he had that car he was working on up on blocks, which that's not a good idea, but that's how they used to do it. And as we're pulling out, Jace is looking around, which is my ex, and he happened to look over and he saw legs sticking out from under the car, and the car had fallen down. So he stopped right away. We rushed out. He grabbed a jack, jacked the car up, and Danny was under there. We pulled him out, and he was definitely dead. There was no mistaking that. After that, I called 911 immediately and got them out there, and obviously a lot of turmoil and a lot was going on, and everything was said and done, and we ended up going home. Then a couple of days later, I was thinking about it, and I said, well, something's just not right. Something just didn't add up. And when I talked to my ex about it, I says, Do you realize when Danny came out, he was wearing the blue button-down shirt, nice jeans, beard was all fluffed out like he had just taken a shower? He says, yeah. I said, well, do you realize when we pulled him out from under that car, his beard was tied, he had that red shirt with the saying on, and jeans. And it clicked. I mean, there's no, absolutely no explanation. It was a flesh and blood Danny asking us for a ride. And it was the other Danny that sat with us that afternoon that we pulled out from under that car. And when the coroner's report came out, according to that, he had been dead at least an hour before we went back. So he would have been dead when that person came out to ask us for a ride. And like I said, he had a totally different outfit on. He was all clean. There's no way he put the old outfit back on, stuck his beard back in, and then got under the car. So it was Danny, and it was a ghost. There's no other way to put it. Now, I've lost my entire family. I started experiencing death probably when I'm 8 years old. I just lost my last immediate family member, which was my brother, in 2021. And I've always been so into the paranormal. It was everything. I read everything. I watch everything. I do my research. And I've always wanted some kind of recognition from the other side because I know there's something there. And that couldn't have been more proof. It was so intense and so unbelievable. But there was three people that talked to him and saw him. And the whole time, his body is under a car in the back. And when we talked to his wife afterwards, she said that light blue button-down shirt that we said he was wearing, she found it on the back of the couch when she got home. And I really do hope this brings some peace to anybody else that has lost people and just wonder what it is. It is true. I've had pretty much every family member contact me one way or another. I just never had proof like I had with Danny. Take care. I love your show. It's amazing. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Charlene. It seems that old Danny had one more visit in him. And you know, I'm sorry for all your loss here lately, Charlene. Having experienced a good bit of that myself here this last decade, I can certainly attest to how you feel. And I agree. I really hope this story helps someone out there coping with the loss of a loved one. As tragic as it was, there's just something touching about the events that unfolded. We can't thank you enough, Charlene, for taking the time to share your call. And that's it, folks. Tonight's collection. And I'd like to thank all of tonight's callers for their bravery. And I'd like to thank you for being here tonight as well. It's not easy sitting through all these spooky stories. And you not only did so, but you did so swimmingly. Now, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support was provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Do the same over on YouTube. Leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. And don't forget to join us on our Discord server. Now you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now don't forget to watch our film, Shadows in the Desert. Go to BoregoTriangle.com to learn more. And go to MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon button. Or join us directly on Patreon or Apple subscription to access a ton more content. But more on that coming up. Now, you won't touch that dial if you know what's good for you. I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
you can tap into to fund what's left in your life.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
They have more questions, and they're going to be really taking a deep dive into this.
A self-appointed guru.
Now, per usual, tonight's secret story is, well, unexplainable. Please welcome Hunter, out of the state of Georgia.
Hey, this is Hunter. And this is my story. I was spending the night with my best friend at the time here in a small town in Georgia. I was 18 years old, and she had just moved into this house. I was asleep in the spare bedroom when I was woken up by the sound of ambulance sirens and red flashing lights from outside the window. The sirens were extremely loud, and the lights were so bright. I had this very uneasy feeling about it since she lived far from the road. Then all of a sudden, they both stopped, and I could see a black figure the size of a medium-sized dog crawling on the floor, but it wasn't a dog. It was something demonic-looking. I still to this day cannot explain what happened. It was the most terrifying feeling I have ever had. I haven't had anything like that happen since, and I hope I never do. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Hunter. I'll tell you what, I can't explain it either. But I can ask if anyone out there listening has any ideas. If you do, don't forget our phone number, 888-608-NIGHT. And I think I speak for Hunter here in saying that we would love to get to the bottom of this mystery. So until we do, thank you again, Hunter, for sharing the story. Now, folks, it's time to take this thing beyond the after show presented each and every Thursday, where we explore a few more calls, tell a few more stories, and call each other by nicknames. And you can be part of the action just by visiting monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking on the Patreon tab. Or, like I said, you can search us out directly on Patreon or Apple subscriptions. Either way, $5 a month gives you instant access to hundreds of hours of back content. Previously unreleased back content. Stories like Angie's here. From parts unknown.
Hi, Derek. This is Angie. My husband and I both listen to the podcast. Sometimes we listen to it as we're falling asleep, and we leave an alarm on in case we fall asleep listening to it, which happens sometimes. You do have a very soothing voice, Derek. A few times we have ended up falling asleep while listening to the podcast, and there's one time, I think maybe there's some kind of story involving bugs on that episode, I don't remember, but this one time after we ended up taking a nap for a while listening to a Monsters Among Us episode. When my husband and I woke up, he kind of is grumpier and wakes up more slowly than me. We've both had experiences.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.